short side of the virtual hardwood, it's the LSE Podcast. This is episode 491. I am Andrew, Andrew in our forum, Andrew LSE on X. Joining me as always, my co-host Derek, DP3 in our forum, and DP3G, and DP384 on X. Derek, good to be talking to you as always about basketball gaming. Of course, as you and our listeners can hear, I am a bit under the weather this week. I almost made it through winter without getting a cold. Unfortunately, got me in the final few weeks here, but I am turning this into my version of the flu game, MJ's famous game, of course. And as Larry Bird once said, I won't sit on the bench with no broken fingernail.
Your dedication is incredibly impressive, number one. Number two, here's some facts about that Jordan flu game. He had 38 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block in 44 minutes. It was game 5 of the 1997 NBA Finals, and they needed every bit of that performance from Jordan because they only won that game by 2, Andrew, 90-88.
Yeah, that was. I remember watching that game back in the day and just being so impressed, you know, fearing that the finals was going to swing in Utah's favor with MJ not being at his best. But yeah, what a heroic performance in that game.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, this episode is going to be dedicated to an issue that's near and dear to the not only the basketball gaming community, but to the gaming the gaming world in general, and the sports gaming world as well, right? And you know, we're incredibly positive. Usually, we're always talking about the games we're playing, you know, past or present. We're talking about, you know, stories from those games, stats, you know, strengths and weaknesses of the games, our fun sessions on Parsec, you know, either together or with the community. So we're never short of positivity, but we also want to make sure that the community understands that we are with them as far as, you know, pushing against these bad practices.
Exactly. You know, we're always saying on the show, stand with your fellow gamer. Don't stand for billion-dollar corporations, because look where it gets us. And yeah, there was some news this week. Obviously, we had the gameplay trailer. We learned about ProPlay, the developer blog. Some interesting information there, obviously, but the bigger news, arguably, was the introduction, the confirmation of season passes. That was a rumor, and it has come to pass, no pun intended.
And like you stated in your community question on X, NBA 2K24 is introducing a Pro Pass, which is $9.99 per season, and Hall of Fame Pass, $19.99 per season, for premium rewards in my team and my career. So, Andrew, this is just another layer of charges and pressure on the basketball gaming community.
It is, and it's designed to take advantage of FOMO, obviously, the rewards that you get with the premium season passes. Now, when we did hear the rumors of the season passes, my initial fear was that it was completely replacing the existing rewards, and the free rewards are still there. They've also combined them into one seasonal progression for my team and my career. Every level you get a reward for my team and one for my career, so which I actually do like that approach. And I do like that they've kept those free rewards. So the news in that regard isn't as bad as it could be. However, do not let that distract us from how greedy this move is.
Exactly. And let's take a deeper dive into this and see, you know, why is Take-Two doing this, Take-Two Interactive? And I'm going to go back to a tweet that I sent when it was Twitter, Andrew, before it was X.
Yeah.
Back to a tweet from October 23rd, 2022, where I highlighted an Axios article, and that article was from May 6th, 2022. And the title of that article is Take-Two CEO makes millions extra when gamers buy more microtransactions. And there's a bullet point in the article that states their top titles, including NBA 2K and GTA Online, are famous and notorious for being loaded with microtransactions that some users say make them feel nickel and dimed. And then the next bullet states, but many players buy in. Take-Two generated $548 million in RCS in the last 3 months of 2021 more than it made from the sale of full games. So as we stated on the prior episodes of the NLSC podcast, they are making more money on microtransactions than they are for the sale of the actual game. That is insane.
Exactly. You can see why microtransactions aren't going anywhere, sadly, and why they are pushing their luck with season passes and why they've taken the approach that they have, because it works and it brings in so much money.
Right. And Andrew and I have talked about this off air before we continue, and we are disgusted about the state of basketball gaming overall today as a result, you know, in relation to consumers being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a new article, Andrew, that was actually published on August 1st, 2023, and by Marco Woods, and it states Take-Two's executives earn millions in bonuses based on microtransactions. And this article is incredibly alarming to me. So it states Take-Two laid off employees to save costs, but pays over $700 million to two executives.
Yeah.
And it says publisher Take-Two Interactive announced layoffs earlier this year with the goal of saving up to $50 million in costs as laid out in an earlier financial report. Strategy game maker Firaxis was one of the studios under Take-Two's umbrella to let go of some of its people in this context. However, things can't be that bad for Take-Two, according to a new report from Axios based on some documents the company recently disclosed to shareholders. The documents reveal that the CEO and company president can expect a payment of $72,350,718 in 2023. Yes, that's more money than the company stated it needed to save going forward. All of that money for two people. Interestingly, a large part of the duo's payments is specifically tied to how much the company's games make from microtransactions, Andrew, alongside reaching other earning targets. And then this line is telling, and we've talked about the casino feel to the game ever since 2K18. It says, if you have ever wondered why NBA 2K looks more like a casino simulator than a basketball game sometimes, and why GTA Online is getting more and more aggressive with pushing players to spend money, then you've got your answer right here. The executives very directly benefit from such exploitative mechanics. Wow. That's a lot to take in, Andrew.
It is. And what I like about that is that it pushes back on the narrative that, oh, you need microtransactions to fund the games and to pay the developers. But no, that revenue isn't going to the games. It's not certainly not going to the retired players fund, as Charles Barkley would like to see to appear in the game and to properly compensate them for the money they make for the game through my team, for example. And it's not going to the hardworking developers who are actually, you know, putting their blood, sweat, and tears into developing the games, the actual good parts of the game, and the engineers and so forth. It's going to the executives. And again, to do that, trying to save money by laying people off at various studios while they're making all that money. I mean, this is not, as you said before, not exclusive to basketball gaming. This is kind of a gaming industry issue. And there's a lot of people have covered that in other genres. But it's one of those things that's kind of flown under the radar in the basketball gaming community. I mean, we talk about a lot of gameplay issues, obviously, balance and things to do with my team packs and my career builds, roster inaccuracies and everything, and that is important. But these business decisions are affecting the games as well, and also there's a human cost as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I just want people to understand again, the primary audience for NBA 2K, the primary target are teenagers.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
And kids. So they're taking advantage of kids and their parents. And a little later, I'm going to get into how much money people are spending on these games. It is insane. But get this, this is the end of the article. It says, after reporting disappointing financial results last year, the CEO said in an interview with GameIndustry.biz, when the results are poor, I take personal responsibility for them. Our teams are delivering and over-delivering. They're delivering hits. That's what they're supposed to do. I couldn't be more proud of them. personally, I have work to do to make sure we run this business efficiently and that we deliver results over time. And that's what I aim to do. And what they're talking about is just whatever money hits their bottom line, right? This isn't about the consumer or what's best to the consumer. This is, you know, best for the consumer. It's about what hits their bottom line. And I'm going to read a quote, and this is from Yanla Van Zandt. She says, "The real meaning of greedy is taking more than you give." And that's the way I look at this to a T, is they're taking, taking, and doing more taking, and they are not giving the equivalent of what they're taking, right? And I think that people are getting taken advantage of. There's stuff in there that they shouldn't have to pay extra for over the top of over the base price of the game. And I think you would agree.
Oh, absolutely. And it's been building for years. And obviously, the $9.99 and $19.99 Pro Pass and Hall of Fame Pass that they're bringing in this year, those are the US prices. It's likely going to cost more in other countries, in other areas of the world. For example, $9.99 US works out to be about $15.67 Australian. The $19.99, $31.35. So it's going to be even more expensive for people in other regions.
Yeah, and I think that big picture-wise, there is no way to spin this as fair. Would you agree?
No
way to spin this as this is what makes sense, this is fair for the consumer.
I mean, people are trying. There's people who are trying to do it.
They're trying. But, Andrew, there's been prominent YouTubers, including Flight, you know, Flight Reacts, who have been calling this stuff out. There has been quite the shining light on this issue ever since the season pass piece was announced. So Flight, who infamously turned down a offer to go, you know, do some stuff for 2K, if you remember correctly, Ronnie 2K reached out to Flight and Flight rejected it. So Flight has 4.4 million subscribers on YouTube. And the video that he made calling this issue out has 104K views at this point. And this is a piece from that video. Flight states, "Bro, that's just straight up taking advantage of the community. It's literally become a money-hungry franchise. You don't even care about having a good video game and a passion for basketball. It's whatever you can get out of everybody. Like, truthfully, all the devs, whoever approved all of this stuff, you're evil. You're evil as crap. You ain't crap. It's pathetic. It's a scumbag move at its finest." Andrew, that is a YouTuber with a huge following, 4.4 million subscribers. And that's how he's talking about the newest 2K. Don't you think this must set off some alarms?
I mean, I would certainly hope so. And we talked about it at the time when Flight pushed back on that, rejected that offer, and called out Ronnie on how he'd been treated, how he treated him in the past, and that was now trying to cozy up to him now that he had that following. And it's been noted on Reddit, the NBA 2K subreddit, that there are content creators trying to push this as a great idea, and we won't name any specifics. You probably have seen them, their names floating around on X or indeed mentioned over there on the subreddit. And it's been pointed out that a lot of those content creators have made their entire identity about NBA 2K. Now, obviously, here at the NLSC, we have made our identity about basketball gaming, so we have a kind of a singular focus. But, you know, just as we started out as an NBA Live fan site, obviously, and we still cover that game retroactively, and we cover all games, past and present. We have that content that's not just based around the latest NBA 2K. You know, we're not beholden to getting that access, that clout, that access journalism that we've talked about before. And a lot of content creators are, unfortunately, and those are the ones that are towing the line and pushing this as a win, and as a win for the community. And it's a win for 2K if they can pull it off, absolutely, but a win for the community, absolutely not.
It feels like much of the influencer, the large follower account influencer base is paid.
Yeah, they're bored.
Like they're paid,
bored. Yeah.
Right. They're paid, bought and paid for. They're paid to say positive things. If they say anything negative, they know that they could lose their perks. They know that they could lose their audience and whatever quote unquote fame they feel like they have, et cetera. And if they are not paid right at the start, they are promised influence. So they will be told, you know, these are the perks you're going to get. We're going to promote you on these various platforms. We'll share your content, etc. We'll help you grow your channel. We'll help you grow your brand. But it's all for the same end goal, right? It's to make sure that they can control that speech. That they can control the content that person puts out and the way they talk about the game.
And it is incredibly telling. Like you can tell when, you know, a post goes up on X or a YouTube video goes up, the words that are being used, etc., that is like a planted statement, a planted idea, a planted promotion, etc. And it is really unfortunate, but I also believe that that's a big reason why some of these, you know, quote unquote community programs exist that the company tries to rope influencers into, right? So they can make sure that they control what is being said as much as possible and create, you know, more positivity than anything. So I wanted to read a few comments, Andrew, under that flight video. I'm not going to go over all of them. One of the comments is, I don't play sports games, but paying $70 for a game and then having to pay more to actually unlock stuff should seriously be a crime. That has 529 likes. I want people to understand something. When NBA 2K, their official account, announced this season pass charge, whenever they announce anything related to VC microtransactions or anything like that, like 95% of the comments underneath are like strongly against it and are kind of pissed. The people are pissed off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
People are pissed off. I just want our listeners to know that. Another comment is, so we have to pay for the game, pay for the VC to do anything in the game, and then pay for the season pass. Why? That has 330 likes and 33 replies. Another one. They want to be like Fortnite. We've talked about this before, but we already pay for the game itself, 545 likes. Making you pay for the season pass is crazy. It makes sense for Fortnite because at least the game is free. But making us pay damn near $100 for the game plus the pass, 117 likes. You're going to see a lot of support for these tweets because people, like I said, they're pissed off. I didn't even think about kids trying to play this. Like, imagine convincing your parents to buy you the $70 game and then coming back later for $100, then $180 for seasons. That's the thing that people, like, how are you okay promoting the season pass stuff and all of this microtransaction stuff or turning a blind eye to it when their target audience is kids, Andrew? Like, kids and teens are getting taken advantage of here, and young adults, and a lot of parents are footing the bill for their kids on this too. I mean, if I was a parent, I wouldn't do it for my child. I'll tell you that. That is ridiculous. And we're going to get into the prices a little bit more later. Here's the next one. This is the downfall for 2K. I hope some other company just makes a game next year and everybody forgets about 2K. 89 likes, and we got two more. You know 2K doing bad things when Chris Smoove is speaking up. OG always quiet. He don't ever speak up. He spoke up to this BS. And then the last one that I'll mention is, not to mention there's multiple seasons. Right now, it's like season 9. So that's $90 minimum if you wanted to buy all of the season passes. Andrew, do you have any idea how much money Take-Two is going to make off of this?
Yeah, I mean, they're just going to rake it in if they can get enough people onto the system. And look, people say it's optional and that there is still the free rewards, but those premium rewards, you can already see there's going to be some extra XP on hand. There's going to be some bonus VC. There's going to be some extra... you know, if they add badge points or badges that you can get, and Hall of Fame badges to just add to your player and so forth, then this is actually going to be a competitive advantage. So people are going to consider it. It's not just cosmetics, if you will. And, you know, to bring back the Fortnite comparison, obviously, not only are we talking about a game that's free with the season passes, but with 2K being an annual release, you know, you're paying that every single year. And whatever you get in the content for 2K24 is going to be useless in a year. I mean, 27 months when the servers finally go down is when it completely disappears. But when 2K25 comes out in 12 months' time, then all that content that you built up, we start over all over again and start paying all over again as well. And yes, it's optional as to whether you want to opt into these season passes, but the pressure is going to be there. FOMO is going to be there. It is taking advantage of kids and their parents' credit cards, obviously, and not to mention adults with impulse control or gambling addictions. A lot of recovering gambling addicts replace gambling with video games, but now the gambling mechanics and all of those, you know, impulse control mechanics are coming into video games as well. So it's taking advantage of that, and it's gross. It's gross.
Absolutely, it absolutely resembles a casino. 100%. The gambling mechanics are all there. The flashing lights, it's disgusting. I agree with you 100%. And that toxic competitive scene, you know, how it's become, that was created for this, right? To make people want to spend money in order to be able to compete out there. Right? To spend extra money on the game to get whatever they need to be able to, you know, have fun with the game and compete with other gamers. So there's another influencer who has 2.07 million subscribers on YouTube. His name is Asmund Gold. So it's Asmund Gold TV. And he broke down the annual cost of NBA 2K24, and I believe he was looking at a Reddit thread that kind of broke this down as well. But it says the annual cost of NBA 2K24, $70 for the base game, so if you got the lowest price, $60 Xbox or PSN online, so estimate for, you know, for 12 months, $100 for one My Career build, which you can't reassign skill points,
yep,
and $240 for the top tier season pass for 12 months. That is $470, Andrew, for NBA 2K24.
And it's gone in a year. It's you know, then 2K25 comes out and it starts all over.
That's
again
what I was just about to say. The asterisk underneath is nothing will carry over to 2K25.
Yeah.
So guess what? You get into NBA 2K25, that's another $470 or more. Which is insane. So this is a quote from his video. He says, "Well, you know what? You get what you effing deserve." And people that kept making excuses about this stuff, saying, "Well, that's fine. I just played the game for fun." Well, that's what you get. I don't know if anybody that another piece that he stated was, "I don't know if everybody that plays sports games is an idiot, but I think that anybody who pays $470 a year is. That is effing true." Pretty strong words there, and I can't say that I disagree with him, but at the same time, I feel bad for these kids, Andrew. I feel bad for anybody who has gambling tendencies and everything, and I do not put this on them. This is the game design. This is the game's purpose. It's pushing them and pressuring them into that direction, right? And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of excuse makers for this stuff try to blame it on the gamer, sometimes giving them full blame.
Yeah.
But they're not the ones who made the game. They're not the ones creating the predatory mechanics, Andrew. And it's not their fault that there's only one basketball sim title in the space, right? Like, there's so many things that you can state that, you know, where 2K went wrong, where they, you know, as far as like all of these implementations, you can't put this on the gamer.
Absolutely not. It's to blame the gamer for the design is just ridiculous. And of course, people say, "Oh, if it's okay if it's just cosmetics," and obviously, it's not just cosmetics. It is actually boosts and badges and so forth. But
it's performance stuff. That's why they make it so. Like, they make it so if you're not spending that money up front, like the $100 or $150 game or whatever, and then you're not giving yourself a boost when you
you know, first dive into the online modes and everything, then you're not going to have fun with the game because your player is going to suck.
Oh, definitely. Right? I know that firsthand. But even if it was just cosmetics, it's this, that FOMO is still going to be there. People are still going to want to have the premium gear, the premium skins, and the premium accessories and clothing and everything, because that is a status symbol within the open world. That is how you get identified as a serious gamer. You know, the whole stigma against people who are either wearing the default outfit or not a very fancy fit, if you will. They get avoided in park games. They don't want to play with you. So there's so even the cosmetic items builds this toxicity, this elitism, this gatekeeping attitude in the online scene. So even if you wanted to argue, and you can't argue that it's just cosmetics because it clearly isn't, but even if it was, you couldn't argue that that was fine because it's still feeding into all of that. And we've heard many stories over the years of kids getting bullied for not using premium Fortnite skins, you know, that you're using a default skin, bro. You know, and so this is what companies are banking on. And 2K is just
cultivated this. Yeah. They've cultivated that atmosphere.
They have, and 2K is just taking it to a new level with this. And it's and they've got with the boosts on top of that, the actual gameplay advantages, the pay to win, pay to enjoy, pay to play. Yeah, it's optional is it doesn't hold a lot of water, Derek, at all. Before we go on, a reminder that the NLSC podcast comes out every week on the NLSC me-live.com, as well as our YouTube channel. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast apps. If you're listening on any of those apps, we'd greatly appreciate a review. To keep up with the show and everything we're doing with basketball gaming in general, connect with us on social media. On Twitter and Facebook, we are the NLSC. We also have an Instagram, NLSC Basketball, and on YouTube, we're youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. Once again, visit us at NBA-Live.com, where in addition to the podcast, you'll also find all of our original content, as well as our forum and modding community.
So, get this, Andrew. Listen to how much money people are spending on this game. All City Live TV, I have to give him credit for this because he put himself in a spot, like a vulnerable spot. He talked about how much money he spent on NBA 2K23. He said that he spent a grand total of $1,190.28. Andrew, that's a video game. He spent that much on a video game during one cycle.
Jeez, yeah.
And he wanted to know, and I appreciate this. He's one of the only people that have done this. He actually asked the community, how much did you spend? Because he was ashamed of it. And here are some of the comments under that post on X and some of the quote reposts. One user says he spent $298.53 on two builds in the regular version of 2K23. Another user states, nah, I only spent $250. Another user says he spent $303. Another says, that's light. I usually spend around $2,500 to $3,000 on BC. Remember, people, we're talking about a video game. Another user says he spent $200. Another says he spent $200 but was happy because he got his boost through a Halloween event. Another says he spent $609. Another says he just checked and he spent more than the OP stated, so more than $1,100, and that he really needs to delete his card off his console. Another user states that he spent $1,600 on 2K23 so far. Another says he checked his account and he spent $2,674.76. Another says I only spent $204. Another user reposted this and stated he spent $2,477 and says he feels sick right now from it. Another user states $239.93. Another one states he spent $3,776 and made over 20 builds. Another states he spent $1,213.87. And another one says roughly around $3,000 opening packs in my team just to get disappointed at the end. This is unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not even getting a return on that investment. It's either, even if you do, it's gone in a year and it starts over again, as we said, or you just get disappointed because the pack odds are so terrible. Because, of course, with packs, you're not even guaranteed to get a player related to the theme, let alone the best possible players in the pack. I mean, fair enough, they have low odds, but you can get like a whatever premium pack with whatever theme they have and not pull a single player related to that theme, like a retro theme pack, and not get a retro player. That's ridiculous. And of course, you know, well, I'll try again and put a little bit more. And to hear that people, you know, feeling ashamed or disappointed in themselves and disappointed with the outcomes, the results of doing that, yeah, it's not enhancing the gaming experience whatsoever.
Those people that are spending over $2,000 and whatnot, those gambling mechanics work like a charm, right? Like, those people kind of have a gambling problem. I'm sorry to say it. I'm going to say that on the air, though. They have a gambling problem. And here's the thing. When they're spending this much money, they're not doing it in one lump sum, Andrew. You know that. What they're doing is it's $30 here, $50 there, $50 again, and maybe $100 here, $20 there. And then it all adds up, right? And that's how those gambling mechanics are so successful, is because it isn't just one lump sum of $1,000 or $2,000. It just accumulates over time, and you don't even realize how much you're spending sometimes. That's why these guys are like, I just looked. I can't believe I spent this much. I'm going to be sick. So the system that they have in place is working like a charm, and it really does. It takes advantage of people. And like you said, it doesn't even carry over to the next game. So they're starting from scratch in the newest game. And the, you know, the suits, their pockets are getting, you know, lined with all of this. It's all about how much money hits the bottom line. It's about the bonuses that they can get. And unfortunately, a lot of the devs and the, you know, the ones that are on social media and whatnot, the ones implementing these mechanics and the ones and the influencers, the people that, you know, work for their in community engagement programs and all of that stuff, those who turn a blind eye on this and who will not be honest about the predatory mechanics, unfortunately, I don't really have respect for them. Why would I? Right? Because they're part of that machine. So it's really hard for me to see these tweets and all of that stuff and just the way things work and, you know, how there's so many people that just kind of turn a blind eye to this.
It is a problem that we don't go back. We don't look. We don't examine. We don't look at the big picture, as you brought up so many times on the show, and that continues to be an issue. You know, last week for Monday Tip-Off, I released the Lies of Developer Blogs, a video essay on how there was so much from 2K19's previous season that revealed that 2K18's previous season flat out lied. We've talked about that on the show before. I've written an article about it. I wanted to make a video essay about it as well. But something that I mentioned in that video is that we don't go back. We don't go back and compare. We don't go back and check. We don't go back and check prices, how they've changed over time. We don't realize how the recurrent revenue mechanics have become pushier and pushier, how they've added little things here and there, how they've taken away things that make grinding harder and much more arduous to push people towards microtransactions, how they've changed the city and the neighbors designed to encourage that, to push you in that direction, and now, of course, introducing season passes just one step at a time. You go back and you look and you see how things have changed. This is the value of going back. It's not just indulging nostalgia, although that is a lot of fun, obviously, as we can attest to, but it's also important to go back and see how these things have changed, and you can see it developing over time. But it also paints a very disappointing picture, because some of us were trying to call it out. We could see what was happening, but some people, they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen. They wanted to shout it down and say, no, you know, you're just being a hater, or you're broke. That's the big one now, as we've said before. You're broke, or you're just criticizing the game, or you're just nostalgic for the old game. No, it's not just about that. We can see how these problems have been building. And yeah, well, this is where we are now.
You know, the thing is, Andrew, is that the majority of people do not have this kind of money, right? To just floating around, to be able to spend and everything. And a lot of people are on hard times, you know, like people's pay has not caught up with inflation. You know, groceries are going up, housing is going up. It's insane in my area. I can't believe how high my grocery bill is, to be honest with you, and how much my rent has gone up. et cetera. And, you know, people, the housing market is in terrible shape right now as far as really high priced homes in a lot of places in the country and whatnot, people buying homes, being afraid of ending up upside down, all of that stuff because they're overspending right now on properties. Like the state of the world right now in relation to how much people get paid and then the cost of everything is not in good shape. You would agree. Right. And so on top of that, a lot of these people, I think, are going beyond their means, spending money on a video game, money that they shouldn't have to spend. And it really is troubling. I want to give a shout out to OG Billy Cook, who's been submitting highlights for the top 10. I've actually jumped in on one of his streams and watched him play NBA 2K23. He's very good at the game. He's fun to watch and he's a good personality and whatnot. Shout out to him. He asked my response on a tweet, and I'm not going to say who sent the tweet, but this person does have about 6,000 followers. And I also want to get your take on this, Andrew. You and I talked about this a little bit off the air. The tweet states, "Do I like paid seasons? No, there is a free option. Mercedes sells many cars, but the G-Wagon is a top tier option in all capitals that has way nicer features. Are customers rioting about it? Nope, because that's how life works. The world isn't equal and life isn't fair. Those who have more money always get nicer things. Companies will do what's best for them, like it or not. Everything in life has options, and those who are more privileged will get the best options. It sucks, but it's the truth. I know how both sides feel, but it's always been this way, always has." And the number one comment under this, and I completely agree, is that's the mindset they want you all to have. And it has 187 likes.
Yeah.
That comparison of a Mercedes to an annual video game is absolutely beyond ridiculous. Basically stating that those who have more money always get nicer things when we're talking about a video game and being a sympathizer to companies, to the people that are taking advantage, to the companies that are taking advantage of people by saying companies will do what's best for them, like it or not, basically saying, suck it up, don't complain. This is the way it's always been. So even though it's a bad practice, even though it's not fair to consumers and everything, suck it up. That's basically what that is. And this line where he states, so those who are more privileged will get the best options. And once again, comparing it to, you know, the Mercedes piece, I can't get over how much I disagree with this person's tweet.
Oh, for sure. We're comparing a luxury vehicle, a luxury car, top of the line, to an entertainment product that is generally accessible to most people over the years since video games became popular and mainstream. So it's absolutely apples and oranges in that regard, and that reply is on the money as well. Again, no pun intended. That yeah, that's exactly what they want you to think. That you've bought, you know, that person has bought into the corporate propaganda, if you will, because as you said, a poor business practice is not justified simply by the fact that, oh, it's business, and we see that a lot. It's up there with the get good and, you know, are you just broke and everything? All those are asinine ad hominems. The whole idea of it's just business. But yes, it is business. And yes, it is a product. But to that point, we can evaluate whether it's a fair business practice. We can evaluate whether it's a good product. Yeah. And, you know, good value for money. So, yeah, the idea that it's a business or a product and therefore can't be judged is ridiculous.
I read this tweet. Or post now because it's on X, as companies will have always taken advantage of people, so suck it up.
Yeah.
That's the way I read that. And I don't know how you can take it any other way. It's missing so much context, and it's such a ridiculous, elitist approach. Listen, people, here's the bottom line. If bad business practices are taking place, not just in the video game space, but in general, you have every right to critique those practices. You have every right to shout from the rooftops of how it's wrong. You have every right to complain. You have every right to, you know, basically offer solutions on how we can fix it, all of that stuff. Never, ever, ever allow yourself to be taken advantage of like this and just say, well, that's the way it is. Like, that is just a completely unacceptable mindset for stuff like this. So OG Billy Cook, shout out to you for pointing that tweet out to me. We'd be interested in your thoughts on that as well. But yeah, I absolutely don't agree with his stance at all.
And look, if you do want to make that comparison to between video games and cars, then we do actually have some disturbingly similar trends in the automotive industry. You've got the unlockable seat warmers. Have you heard about that? Where you've got to actually pay the subscription to get, like, to be able to turn on the seat warmers and things in luxury cars. Like, you've bought the car with the seat warming feature, but now you've got to keep paying it. I mean, it's not like it's a consumable like fuel or ink in a printer or toner in a printer. It's a function. It's a feature of the car that you have to keep paying for to unlock with a subscription. So cars are already there as well. And season passes and things are the same thing in video games. It's that you're buying a product, but then having to pay extra to get the full experience out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And we want to hear from the community on this, right? There are some responses to the mailbag question, but we want to hear more from the community. How do you feel about the state of basketball gaming today? How do you feel about these practices, the gambling mechanics in the game? How do you feel? You know, is it fair to you? Does this make sense? Et cetera. You know, so yeah, please let your voice be heard.
No, we want the community talking about it. We want more people of influence talking about it as well. We want them pushing back because it is something that continues to get swept under the rug all too often. And again, it's just been building and getting worse throughout the years until we've reached this point. As far as taking action, though, I mean, people talk about boycotts. Video game boycotts are often not as effective as we would like because people end up getting the games anyway, especially because 2K is a quality product in many respects. It is the only new NBA game each and every year, so people do end up getting it because they do want to have that new game. And obviously there are some other improvements they've been working on this year. Pro play and some other things that were revealed in the gameplay blog are certainly very promising. We will get to that probably in next week's show. But yeah, it's hard to boycott games, and people do give into FOMO and do give into those impulse, that lack of impulse control and that gambling addiction and everything else, unfortunately. And it does make it hard to put an end to these practices and to fight back against them, I should say, because they are being supported in a way because people are still engaging with them. But we definitely do need to talk about it. We need to keep each other informed. I'm not under the delusion that we can get rid of microtransactions or anything like that, Derek, but we can keep each other informed and say, this is what you're in for, and be aware of this is how predatory the game is. And, you know, again, stand with each other rather than stand for a $1 billion corporation.
I also got to make a point, Andrew. On that last tweet that I read, he talked about people being the privileged get nicer things. So should NBA 2K only be for rich kids? Do you see how stupid that comment
yeah,
is?
Apparently, yeah.
Do you know how ridiculous that comment is, the word privileged? So what you're trying to say is that NBA 2K, a basketball simulation that's released every year, that's supposed to be, that's targeted for the, you know, for anybody, all ages, etc., you're telling me that it's now a rich kids game because the CEOs want to line their pockets?
So it's the caviar of gaming, apparently.
The caviar. Yeah. I mean, like, give me a break. Yeah. Like, what? That's absolutely ridiculous. As far as, you know, what needs to happen for this to change, honestly, we need competitors in this space. We need the only way that I see this trend being reversed is by a company coming in, and I'm not saying that it's going to be EA Sports, Andrew, because we've seen what they've done with Madden Ultimate Team, right? We've heard of what they do with their soccer series, etc. From what I gather, there's people spending a lot of money on those games too, and they're loaded. Those modes are loaded with microtransactions. The point I'm trying to make is there needs to be a company that comes into the basketball gaming space that gives people a deep basketball gaming experience that does it right, Andrew, that is more fair to the gamer. And then when more consumers flock to that game, and 2K starts losing money, they are either going to go under or they're going to be forced to change their practices, right? So in my opinion, the only way to reverse this trend is to get competition in the space.
Oh, for sure. And it is funny. I mean, obviously, EA does not have the greatest reputation as a company. NBA Live in the last generation wasn't chock full of microtransactions. Of course, it wasn't really doing well enough to push their luck in that regard. If it was, I imagine they would. You know, I have no doubt about that. But yeah, it is kind of funny that a lot of people are looking for EA to save us from greed. It's certainly not EA's usual MO.
Right. And the thing is that no matter what, if we got another competitor in the space, if they were, you know, if they gave people options and they were fair, whether it was EA or not, I think that it could make 2K change their ways a little bit, right? I feel like they'd have to in order to, you know, basically retain the good portion of the consumers that they had, or at least try to. My thing is that more people do need to speak up. And I really appreciate Flight for doing that video. You know, he has 4.4 million subscribers on YouTube. The other gentleman that I spoke of that has over 2 million subscribers, these articles that are being written, there just needs to be even more in order to shine a brighter light on what's going on. Will it make 2K change their ways? Probably not, but we can try.
I mean, if there is a backlash, and more importantly, if there is that drop-off of player retention after the game comes out, if it's not making the projected profits, if it's not making what they're expecting to make, if people aren't spending as much time with the game as they were hoping to, then it could have an impact. And you look at some of the other changes, you know, with gameplay, the green or miss in the online competitive space does push it towards a very kind of elite gamer, elitist point of view. And it's going to be very unwelcoming to new gamers. So if you combine that with even pushing microtransactions, with these season passes, all the stuff that's just lacking in goodwill and welcoming people to the scene and allowing them a way to get good, if you will, then they might find that people cancel their pre-orders, or that they don't put that money into the game anymore, or they stop playing it after a month because they just aren't enjoying the experience. This could be a very pivotal year for 2K.
I think that the problem, though, is, Andrew, is I don't think this situation, I'll say again, I don't think it gets fixed without a competitor. I don't. I don't. The market is cornered. People are going to pick up the game. They want to play a basketball sim. It's the only basketball 5-on-5 sim out there, et cetera. It's going to be purchased. They're going to hit their $12, $13, $14 million in sales for the year for just the game. They're going to make boatloads in microtransactions again, et cetera. The only thing, I'll say it again, the only thing, Andrew, that's going to really, you know, change it is either, well, there's two things, let's be honest. Laws that somehow get put in place that prevent this behavior from the company.
Regulation, yeah, yep,
yeah.
Rules,
yeah. Yeah, regulation, right, exactly. Or maybe like a class action lawsuit, right?
Yep.
Like a suit, like being sued, or a competitor in the space. Those are the only three ways that I see this trend being reversed. And unfortunately, the regulation piece and then the, you know, class action suit piece, like, I don't think those are that's going to happen.
It's a long shot, so, yeah. And that's closer. A long shot too. Getting a competitor back in the space is obviously a long shot at this point. It certainly feels that way. Obviously, that is what's really going to push 2K to change their ways. I do think that if it really blows up in their face with bad publicity, if they don't make those goals with recurrent revenue this year, if it just doesn't work out as well as they hoped, I mean, I go back to trying to charge for haircuts in 2K18, how they had to go back on that and other things.
Yeah, but then they added other mechanics in there too.
They did. They certainly did. Yeah. But right. But we saw how they reduced VC earnings, and then they went back up again when people noticed. So there is a bit of a push and pull there that if they push their luck too much, I could see them backing off a little bit. But to really get them to change, I agree, you need to either have that regulation or outright banning from a legal standpoint, or you need that competitor in the space. And yes, at the moment, that's not there to really help out. Or as you say, a class action lawsuit. Easier said than done. That's going to take money to take on, obviously. But yeah, it's just a disappointing situation all around, especially because there are aspects of 2K that are quite enjoyable. We've talked about them many times before, but these are very intrusive. And again, it's
but we care about our fellow gamer, right?
We do,
picking up the game, we collect the games, and you know, my brother and I, no matter what, are going to have our season that we play on the same team. We're going to spend over 100 hours on it. We're just going to spend the price on the base game, though, for our needs, right? But just because we're doing that and we're not overspending on the game doesn't mean that we don't care about
exactly
the rest of the basketball gaming world and the consumer base, and not just for 2K either. You know, we want this trend to change in the industry, period. All games. It's ridiculous. So, but before we get to the community's responses, Andrew, we wanted to highlight a very, very nice message from NLC podcast listener. He enjoys our content on YouTube. He enjoys your articles, etc. His name is Royce.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Royce. Sent me a very nice email, often posting kind comments on our Facebook page as well. Yeah, and of course, as a content creator, you don't always get those nice comments or any comments, you know, just saying, hey, I enjoyed, just to say, oh, I enjoyed your stuff. You know, there's responses to the content, of course, but simply saying, you know, well, I enjoy what you're doing and keep up the good work. You don't always hear that, but when you do, you don't take it for granted. I really do appreciate that. They were very kind comments, and I'm glad you enjoy what we do, and we will continue to do it. You know, here I am, obviously, Derek, a bit under the weather, but wanted to get on here and record the show with you as we do every week, because it's important to cover these topics and to talk about these important issues in basketball gaming. So yeah, no, that just encourages us to keep giving it all each and every week with everything we do.
Yeah, we love creating the content, and we love our audience. And, you know, he made a, you know, comment in that message talking about how when he listens to us, it's like listening to friends.
Mm.
Right. And that means a lot because, you know, we really do care about the basketball community. You know, I've connected with over 70 people on Parsec, you know, to play various basketball games, participate in tournaments, etc. We get super excited whenever we get a comment on the YouTube channel or on one of our posts on X or on Facebook, etc. Like, we love the community aspect of the NLSC, and we do consider you guys our friends. There's so many people that, you know, submit highlights to the top 10 that, you know, I've kind of become chummy with. Like, we talk on Twitter and everything. We ask how we're, you know, each other are doing and everything. We get excited about the different games that are being played and all the highlights and all of that stuff. Like, Andrew and I will tell you flat out that we genuinely love what we do in the basketball gaming space. And, you know, that's not going to end anytime soon. And Royce, I am happy about your, you know, your success with the Celtics.
Mm.
I did see that part of the message, and, you know, Andrew relayed that to me. And you know, we're going to continue to create content, and thank you.
Yeah, I do like that we have that vibe that comes across, that it's not just these two elitists who are just there talking down to an audience. You never want to be that, or certainly we don't want to be that. So the fact that we're not coming across that way is, again, very encouraging, letting us know that we're doing something right. And we really do appreciate that. And yeah, we're going to keep bringing you this content every week.
Yeah, and Royce, if you do end up getting your PS2 or PS4 set up for recording, I'd love to get you in the top 10. At some point. So if you ever end up getting, you know, an Elgato or any other, you know, recording tool, etc., shoot me a highlight.
Definitely. But speaking of community interactions, Derek, we do have some responses about the Pro Pass and Hall of Fame Pass, the $9.99 and $19.99 season passes for 2K24. And first up, we have Mio. She says, yet another monetization crap. 2K becoming more and more greedy as the years go by. With all this money, they can easily afford Barkley and next-gen PC ports. And yeah, that goes back to a point I made earlier, Derek, that the money is not going back into the game. They're not investing it in paying the legends or getting someone like Barkley in the game by making that big donation to the Retired Players Fund. They're certainly not putting it into developing the next-gen version for PC. And with those numbers that you quoted, it's just going into the suits' pockets, and a couple of suits at that.
I will never mentally accept the fact that two people need the equivalent of $70 million in bonuses. Like, that's just absolutely insane to me. Also, while other people get laid off. Yeah, I mean, Barkley stated publicly that the reason why he's not in 2K is because they don't give enough money to the retired players. Yet they implement things like My NBA Eras and all the classic teams and whatnot and advertise that content. And oftentimes that content isn't complete. They advertise it as complete, though. But there's the loaded with inaccuracies and rush drops and everything. But hey, guess what? It helps sell the game. It helps hit the bottom line and everything. But yeah, no, definitely agree with your take.
And next up we have Steve, the Live King, of course, says they really stretched it to $20. Just shows how far they're willing to go. And yeah, they are all too comfortable at the moment, Derek, pressing their luck as far as they can take it.
2K18 was the beginning of this, you know, crap storm. It really was. And you and I have talked about that on past episodes. And ever since 2K18, the gambling mechanics, the VC, the microtransactions, all of that stuff, that has just gotten worse and worse every single year.
Next up, we have Knowledge Bone. Says simply, trash. Yeah, I mean, that's how people feel. Disgusted.
Normally, we like when like the community expands a little bit more, but that's a good way to put it. Trash.
Garbage. Yeah, sometimes a one-word answer sums it up. Yeah,
sometimes you can describe a situation in one word adequately, and you did.
And the NLSC's Kenny, of course, writer of the Sunday Substitute and NLC podcast alumnus, says, and NLC Thrillhome member as well, says, I'm still weighing up whether I want to buy it or not. On one hand, I want to stay up to date with the NBA and see how crossplay pans out. On the other hand, I don't want to feel like I'm implicitly supporting 2K's greediness. It could be a good skip year for me. And yeah, Kenny has skipped games here and there for reasons like that before, being feeling burned out and disgusted with a game and maybe sticking with one that he does enjoy, which again is something if more people could do, maybe that would send more of a message to 2K. But that is hard. Again, that is hard to do. Boycotts, video game boycotts, seldom work out on a large scale as well as we'd like and to be as effective as we'd hope. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that even if you're not spending the money yourself, still by buying the game, can feel like you're, as you say, implicitly supporting the greed. So yeah, I get wanting to make that stand as well.
Right, and I don't want consumers to feel bad for buying the game either. Right, sure. It's a product on the shelves, and if it gives you the fun that you want, and you are not breaking the bank on it and all of that stuff, by all means, don't feel guilty, pick up the game. And the thing is that you and I are collectors, all right? We're picking it up anyway. But we're not spending money on microtransactions, right? And that's where I feel okay right now is I'm not feeding that machine. I'm buying the base game like I did ever since I was a kid, right? And so that hasn't changed for me. But I'm going to speak up for the community. I'm going to speak up on the bad practices.
Sweet Jones underscore OTF, big perk, of course. Just a money grab, man. I hate how games are now. And yeah, don't we all?
Yeah, like we said, it's not just in the basketball gaming space. Like he says, it's games in general. There's so many different games that are doing this in the MMORPG space, RPG space, adventure games, strategy games, simulators, all of that. Like this is, basketball managers, sports manager games in general. It is all over the place now. However, 2K is such a popular title. It sells so many copies every single year. It's the only basketball game in the basketball sim space, and the gambling mechanics are even more obvious in the 2K games than they are in so many of the other, genres that I just mentioned. So, yeah, it is unfortunate what's happened.
And Teddy Bear the Gamer says, the game is already $80 to $150. That's crazy. That's why I appreciate our era of video games. And yeah, we've said it before, Derek, that, some people say, oh, you're complaining about the cost of games these days? We'll go back and play a game from 2005, old head. And our response, as Teddy Bears is, and many of our peers in the community, their response is, okay, sounds good.
Right, exactly. We have so many titles to choose from the past that were actually fair to the consumer base. But yeah, that sometimes gets forgotten among people that talk about microtransactions, meaning a transaction that takes place after you've bought the game already. You know, there's versions that are $100 to $150, Andrew, for the base game. That's wild to me. And the thing is that marketing tactic also works. So instead of spending $70 on the game, they have a good amount of people spending the $100 or the $150.
And to that point, Roger Ward, one of the Live 01 legends with Nate Starshow, of course, says, sounds awful. I'll keep firing up the PS2. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're not going to be affected by this at all.
No.
Nate and Roger have so many classics, so many go-tos, and it's been really nice to see them back playing again because they took a small hiatus due to life circumstances and whatnot, but they've been playing some NBA Live 2003 recently. That seems to be their preferred title. I want to say that Nate has been playing NBA Live 2005, and he was the number one play in the top 10 plays of the week this week with a self alley-oop with LeBron on that game, which is incredibly hard to do. So yeah, those guys will be fine.
Gens Gaming Corner says, NBA 2K costs too much. If all these microtransactions are going to be in the game, then the game should be free to play. These season pass pay levels are too much too, because NBA 2K has 8 or 9 seasons. Add up VC cost rise, season passes, 9, the game plus all the levels, you're talking about $350 plus, which absolutely, we did the math earlier in the show. And yeah, it's not a case of a game that has 3 or 4 seasons a year and that lasts multiple years, like a Fortnite, as we said. It is an annual title. And look, free to play would be even worse in many ways for NBA 2K. We've talked about that before. But that being said, this is a model that is more appropriate, such as it is, for free-to-play, not an annual title that costs full price.
Exactly. And the thing is, yeah, we did the math earlier, and it's roughly $470, so close to $500, which is insane for an annual release. And he mentions it should be free-to-play, but as we talked about a couple episodes ago on the NLSC podcast, be careful with that.
Yeah,
because free to play just means they're going to lock more stuff behind paywalls in order to, you know, access to, you know, different, you know, attributes or badges, or hell, they could even, you know, lock my league behind like a $5.99 cost, right?
Yeah.
You know, my NBA, like,
parts
like
of the $9.99. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And only give you access to play now. Like, there's so many different things that they could do with
roster
a free to play model.
Annual subscription for roster updates, you know, that's
right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And now think about this too. The whole point of them doing the season pass thing, the ramp up since 2K18 with microtransactions, is so more money hits the bottom line. Right? And so people get bonuses that want bonuses, etc. You really think that they're going to make this game free to play and still have the structure that it's in place right now? Of course not, because then they're going to lose money, and that's not the company's goal. So unfortunately, I don't think that model is going to be adopted.
And to that point, Khalil Ward says they just want money, it's never about basketball, and follows that up with a second tweet that says they don't care about basketball anymore, just want more money, cheap rewards, shaking my head. Yeah, and that's the other thing, are the rewards worth it? Are they going to be worth it each and every time? And even the ones that are going to upset the competitive balance. So there are so many problems that it introduces.
Bottom line, and this can't be argued, the season pass charge, this new thing, it has nothing to do with basketball, right? It has nothing to do with enhancing the game from a basketball perspective. It's a company greedy move.
And Das Crew 1 says, God, I miss the days where all you had to do was buy the games and the unlocks were accompanied by getting good at it. Yeah, that goes back to what we said before. 2 Twin Loco says, it's incredibly greedy. 70 for the game, 50 to 100 for VC, and now they want 20 for the battle pass. Hopefully they don't put badge points or anything that can help your player, because at that point, it's pay to win.
Yep. And as far as the gentleman that mentioned the unlockables, like getting good at the game to unlock stuff, that sent my mind right into like NBA Live 2000, right? When, you know, to unlock the legends. And then it made me think of like NBA 2K12 with their greatest mode, right? The greatest games, and you could unlock stuff. Like that is like, that's what games used to be when there was, you know, unlockable content. Now what they want to do is get people to pay more and more and more and more to unlock stuff that should have just, you know, come with the game.
I mean, I've been playing 2K6 recently, you know that. Did the Wayback Wednesday on it last week. And that's got the crib, of course, as you may recall, where you can use the credits you get for simply playing the game and performing certain tasks, and you buy mini basketballs, and that unlocks the all-time Sonics, Lakers, Celtics and 76ers, and the International All-Stars, and things like that. That was so cool back in the day. And just by playing the game and then going into that cool area, the crib, unlocking it, yeah, that was fun. And we've lost that.
Yeah, we really have. And that was fair to the gamer, right?
Yeah.
And it made people still spend more time on those games to try to do the unlockables and everything. So I think that it's just, it's a shame. It's a damn shame.
Bat Dog says, why would you want this? Poop emoji, pass. Yeah, I say good boy, good dog.
Right, exactly. Nobody wants this, right?
Yeah.
There isn't a consumer out there. There's not a gamer out there.
Only Shills. Only Shills.
Wants this. And even Shills that try to, you know, stand up for the company with all of this.
Deep down.
They don't want this. Nobody wants that extra money going out of, you know, their bank account. They don't want it. So, yeah.
Another point about free-to-play, Jackson Herod says, if they're going to go this route, the game should be free-to-play, asking people, after you've already spent at the very least $70, to spend $10 or $20 every 6 weeks in this game is ridiculous. Things like this are why we need an alternative NBA game. And yeah, as we said, that's what it comes down to put the pressure on 2K, if people can actually make that switch and say, look, we can play NBA Live, maybe it's not as great as 2K in every single area, but it's fun. And they're not trying to gouge us, or another competitor, obviously. EA and Live just seem to be the most likely competitor, being the longest-running series apart from 2K. But a competitor that is still doing good things on its own merit and satisfying us on the virtual hardwood, but isn't trying to reach into our pockets and our wallets, yeah, that's what we need.
I'll say it again. The number one way that we could reverse this trend is by getting a competitor or competitors in the basketball gaming space, in the sim space, and that those competitors who put games out there are more fair to the gamer. That is the number one way that we can make 2K more honest, that, you know, we can possibly reverse the trend with microtransactions and these ridiculous costs, etc. Do I think that's going to happen? I'm not optimistic, but I'm hopeful.
And at Dalek underscore says, last one I bought was 2K20. This year I played 23 when it was added to PlayStation Plus for free. I was thinking about buying this year, but this completely turned me off. F this greedy crap. And yeah, that's, I think a lot of people starting to feel that way when this came along.
Yeah, people are upset about it. Like he says, it, you know, it turned me off because of the greedy crap. Like, there's a lot of people who do not want to buy this game because of the greedy tactics, the predatory mechanics, etc. So, yeah, you know, good on him.
And heading over to the NLC Discord now, Wizcard Rush says, it definitely feels like 2K is testing and pushing the limits of how much they can monetize the game. This is what happens when there is no competition in the market. It just feels predatory in the fact that this will take advantage of kids who do not know any better. They're going to spend money on every season to keep up with other players. So yeah, it's everything we've said. Taking advantage of kids, people with impulse control, no competition to keep 2K honest or try to make try to keep things fair, because they know that gamers will jump over to the competition if they can get a better deal there, more value for money there. So yeah, it's a tough spot, and 2K just keep pushing their luck and just seeing how far they can push it. Started with 2K18 and has continued to get worse. They've pulled back here and there to make it look like, oh yes, we're listening to you, and you know, yeah, we want to institute some goodwill and foster some goodwill. But it doesn't take them long to undermine that again, Derek.
I just feel like that piece is missed by so many people who talk about this issue. The kids piece, the teens piece, the fact, you know, who this game is marketed to, you know, the population that's buying the game. Like, people, you got to think about this on a deeper level, and you think about whose pockets are being reached into, etc. So yeah, no, that's a great point.
And one last response from our Discord, Juicy Shackmeat says, I won't elaborate my thoughts on this. As simply put, this is just plain greed by 2K. This basically killed my interest to the series. And again, somebody else who wanted to give the series a chance, give this year's game a chance, and has just had their enthusiasm killed by this announcement. And yeah, I understand not really having much more to say, except I'm disappointed and I won't buy the game. I totally get that.
Juicy Shackmeat's very much like us, where he has, you know, a really solid retro collection for basketball video games. And he connects with people on Parsec. He talks about the games on Discord and everything. He is not going to be hurt by not getting the newest title in the least, to be honest. And good on him. So, like, he'll have, you know, his old NBA Lives to go to, the you know, the older 2Ks that he really likes, etc. I know that he likes some of the games from the other makers, like, you know, Konami, etc. He's going to be perfectly fine.
And that's the thing, have a backup plan. That's what we used to have back in the day. Not everybody got every single game every year. I did after a little while, and build my collection year after year, especially after I started creating content, online content, back in 1998. But yeah, back in the day, a lot of people would skip a year here or there, stay with a game that they enjoy. But with all of the online content now, there is that pressure to upgrade every year to get the latest title and the new rosters. And obviously, we have great mods in the community, always have. But modders are moving on more often as well these days. So yeah, it's very much, as we said before, games have become very disposable. So it is important to have those backup options and have some old favorites you can fall back on, as we do, and Juicy Shackmeat does, and so many people in our community are starting to do that. And I think that's such a wise decision.
Staying on one title for an entire year just sounds boring to me. It would be boring to me. Like, I love, you know, mixing it up. Like, if I am playing the newest title, sure, I'll get a couple games in, but then I can go over and play an older NBA Live title and get a completely different gameplay experience, right? And even play some different modes, unlock stuff, etc. And then, you know, if I'm not playing NBA Live, maybe I'm playing NBA Shootout, or maybe I'll go back in time and play like a super classic, like the original NBA In the Zone. And then, hey, you know what? I want a complete arcade game. And you saw me post NBA Hoops recently from PS2. Now I'm going to go and play that. I love all the different gameplay experiences. I love the variety. I love keeping things interesting. So for me, even if I loved like the newest title that came out, whether it was 2K Sports or EA or whatnot, I'm not going to want to play that exact same game for an entire year, like exclusively. So I love that we have these collections.
And Andrew, so before we wrap up this show, I actually wanted to give a shout out to, you know, all those people who continue to submit highlights, you know, for the top 10, you know, Rel House and Lookie the Gamer and, you know, Bucky T and Steve from the Dot, you know, the Live King, Chuck LA 92, you know, OG Billy Cook, At A Problem, I think he's Captain Crunch on Twitter, Teddy Bear the Gamer. Recently, P-Dub got involved from the NLSC. So I'm P-Dub on Twitter. You guys make the top 10. Without you guys in there, you know, week in and week out, without the community involvement, the top 10 does not exist. And it's really fun to put together each week. I love seeing your highlights. I love seeing it go up on YouTube and, you know, get the reactions that it gets and everything. I just want to thank you. You guys are awesome.
Now, it's great to see those highlights each and every week. And we promise that you will not be charged any season passes to see the top 10.
Absolutely not. There will be no charge to interact with Andrew and my content.
And the preview season is underway, obviously. Pro play and other aspects of gameplay were described this past week. There was that gameplay trailer, of course. We are going to circle back to that next week and talk about the other details that come through in the interim. But we did want to talk about this topic this week because it is such a big controversy, Derek, and it is such a big problem, as we said, with basketball gaming, with gaming in general, and it has reached a boiling point, I'd have to say. And it's disheartening, but I am heartened at the same time, Derek, to see people pushing back on it a bit more, and also pushing back on content creators who are shills. There's a bit more pushback on that. And that's good to see as well, because obviously we should hold 2K accountable, or any developer accountable, any developer or publisher accountable, obviously, but also content creators as well, especially if they're going to be shills.
Exactly. And I just want people to be mindful of, you know, who they're listening to. you know, if you're tuning into a stream, if you're on YouTube, et cetera, on Twitch and everything. There's a lot of people trying to say all the right things and, you know, do whatever they possibly can to back the company. There's people out there that are, you know, hand-fed talking points, hand-fed things to, you know, post on X, you know, to hand-fed ideas and topics to, you know, talk about on YouTube and everything. Just be careful with who you listen to and try to think big picture. And also think for yourself too, right? Like think about the microtransaction situation on your own. Like don't let anybody else tell you how to think and whatnot. And look at that situation realistically and think about how it impacts your fellow gamers and what it means to the gaming industry.
Absolutely. And of course, we will always give it to you straight here on the NLC podcast.
Oh, 100%. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this episode, too. We wanted to highlight this issue. We wanted to make you aware of it if you were not. But at the same time, we also want people to know that we are absolutely 100% against these practices, and you won't see any shilling from us.
Not at all. We will continue to push back on these practices and give our honest opinions, appraisal of the game, and, of course, talk about the previews moving forward. With that being said, that has brought us to the end of this week's show. As always, we thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again next week, either on the NLSC, mb-live.com, our YouTube channel, or your podcast app of choice. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media. That's where you can get in touch with us and, of course, stay up to date with all of our content. So, Derek, go ahead and plug the handles.
Yeah, you can reach me on X, formerly Twitter, at D43G and at D4384. You can also reach me on YouTube, D43, and on the NLSC, D43.
I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew NLSC on X. The NLSC is on X and Facebook at the NLSC. We're also NLSC Basketball on Instagram and Threads. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center. And of course, give a look to the NLSC itself, NBA-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. So, thank you once again for tuning in, and until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.